We're glad to welcome you this morning. We're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer as we begin our class. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the grace that you give to us in Jesus. Thank you that in Him we have life and an abundant life, for that matter. We're glad that we can have confidence that you are Lord in Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our time today to study your word, and even more that you would bless the worship time that we look forward to a little bit later this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of introduction, let me tell you that we are studying a book by John Leonard that's titled Get Real, and it's a book about the subject of evangelism. And we have discovered throughout the study of the class or of the book that what Leonard does is he likes to examine some of the traditional mindset of evangelism and to look at it from a different perspective and sometimes flip it a little bit over onto its head. And he infuses the study of evangelism with a lot of Reformed theology so as to give you, number one, a love for what Christ has done for you, and out of that appreciation for the grace that you've received, there'd be an overflow as you speak to others. But then secondly, to critique a little bit of some of the modern ideas of evangelism and to set them in a different light. And we found that to be actually a very challenging and encouraging study for us. He starts off by saying that that oftentimes when we talk about evangelism, that people invariably start to feel guilty, as if they haven't done enough or said enough or been better witnesses. And so one of his goals and one of my goals has been to remove the subject of evangelism from a presentation to make you feel guilty for not doing enough, and to instead set it in a context of encouragement so that you can see, as I've said, what God has done for you, and speak about that with a great deal of confidence and a great deal of appreciation. So our subject today is going to be the subject of chapter 11, what Leonard calls a different kind of testimony. And in a little bit we'll get to the reason why he calls it a different kind of testimony. But to start off with, I want to begin by saying just how valuable a personal testimony is in the course of evangelism. That it's one of the tools, in a sense, in the tool belt of evangelism when you speak about what Christ has done for you. And as I said, the first several chapters of Leonard's book are really focusing on that so that you can engage with what Christ has done for you and then out of that overflow speak of it. I want to look at four different values that come out of the idea of a personal testimony. Actually, let me back up just a minute and say we have examples of this in the New Testament. Can you think of some people in the New Testament that speak of what Christ has done for them? Yeah, Vicki?
Yeah, that Jesus cast out all the demons and go home and tell them what
he's done for him. Yeah, we've hit that one a couple of times, and it's this one here, Mark 5:19. We've come back to that several times. Go home and tell them what God has done for you. That's a personal testimony. John?
Blind man?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll look at that one. That's one right here. This is John 9. What did the blind man say?
Well, he said before the third.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah, once I was blind, but now I see. And, isn't there a song like that? He didn't know he was writing a song. How about... How about the story of Cornelius? That story is told at least twice, maybe three, and alluded to another, a fourth time in the book of Acts. In one book alone, Cornelius' testimony is shared. And Paul, over the course of his letters, and it's told in Acts, but then in his letters, he also very directly speaks of his own personal testimony. And then if you think of sharing your testimony as telling how much God has done for you, well, we can take that into the rest of Scripture too as well. Is there anyone in the Old Testament that speaks about how much God has done for them? Well, of course there is. The Bible is full of testimonies, even stories that are told of what God has done in people's lives. So let's look at some of the values or some of the reasons why it's good for you to speak about what God has done for you. So some volunteers, who will look up John 9, 24 and 25? Logan? Chris, you want to get Mark 5, 19? How about 2 Corinthians 13, 5? Rachel? 1 Corinthians 11, 28? Matthew? Acts 4, 13? Derek? And then 13 and 14, and then I'm going to have you read verses 31 through 33 as well. And then John 4, 39. John? Good. We'll start in John 9.
Then again, Paul said, the blind, the man that was lame, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
And then Mark 5:19.
However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.
There are a lot of people these days that talk about telling your own story. And there's it's a nice idea to talk about it in that light, and there's a certain sense of genuineness. There's a certain sense of connection that comes as you speak about your own experience. We've engaged in earlier chapters with the necessity of the truth of the gospel and the truth of what Jesus has done. And so we never want to separate the story from the truth of Jesus Christ. But what telling your story does is that it draws to light what God has done in your life. And in doing that, there's a certain genuineness about that. It's a way to draw others into that experience and, in a sense, brings home the spiritual experiences that are spoken of in Scripture, and then someone that you actually rub shoulders with speaks about that. And so that, in a sense, genuineness of that story, sometimes the Lord uses to cause others to come to Christ. And so even from the testimony itself, God uses that to grant faith. I'm just going to fill in each one of these. For the demoniac in Mark that is sent home, he was sent home to carry on what Jesus and his disciples were doing elsewhere. Only he was going to those people who knew him, his friends and family in his own setting, and he was testifying. He was sharing his own experience. And in his case, there was a remarkable way in which people would have known the before and after aspect of his story. And that is a witness that God uses to call attention to that and to grant faith. Well, let's go on to number two, 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?
And 1 Corinthians 11:28.
Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
So Paul is speaking about a couple of different things in these passages, but there is a communal aspect to sharing of a testimony that causes a certain amount of introspection and a healthy amount of introspection. In this case, Paul actually is commanding an examining of yourself and an examining of yourself to see if you are in the faith. When you hear others talk about their own conversion and their own experience of the grace of Christ, almost of necessity draws in that sort of introspection. Now, I'm going to be cautioning you about some pitfalls of that in a little bit. Maybe you can tell what some of those pitfalls might be. Well, I'll just invite you to list some pitfalls of listening to others' testimony and comparing yourself to them. Okay, yeah, you're not as dramatic.
What are the pitfalls?
Right, right. Yeah.
I've had some people say, man, I kind of wish I had sinned more so that it was more. Which is a silly thing to say.
It is, and it takes very lightly the sin that you have had, and really downplays that as if you were already good, which we are not, and hopefully as you come to understand that better, you can communicate. I'm a sinner as well, Vicki.
Categorize different levels of sin, but the bottom line is we're all lost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. In a certain sense, we can each one say, I was blind, but now I see. Maybe not physically blind, but I too was lost in my sin. I too was in need of Jesus Christ. And I continue to rest in Jesus Christ. Bridget?
Comparison also takes our focus off God and brings it back to ourselves, which is not the point of the testimony.
Yep.
That's with comparison is not just how we reflect on ourselves, but how we reflect on others. You know, whether or not that person is really a Christian, is a testimony. I mean, there was a period in the Puritan history where they were supposed to have, as part of the thing, prove the thing, that their conversions, this testimony, all that stuff, it might not have been all that dramatic. And so they had realized, we need to change. And they were making conditions that were outside of the Bible, and it led to more confusion.
Good. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, there were these requirements for you to be able to demonstrate that you'd had a quote-unquote conversion experience. And if you weren't able to produce a conversion experience, maybe you would be withheld from church. Okay, so those are some of the pitfalls, and we'll come back to those in a minute. But Paul does say, examine yourself. See that you are of the faith. And in the context of the Lord's Supper, examine yourself. By the way, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper in our next service. So here's an appropriate time for you to be thinking personally, and in the context of the body of faith, in the context of the body of believers, to examine yourself and to discern the body of Christ, to discern what Jesus has done for you. And so Here's one of the means of grace, one of the primary means of grace, and the preaching of the word and the sacraments that has a telling of what Christ has done that inspires this type of introspection. And there's that happens when you share your testimony as well, on a, maybe on a different level, but it may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It may encourage you as you see your brothers and sisters exercising faith in the way that they are walking to say, Lord, build that in me as well. So some very powerful ways that that works. Number three, let's have Acts 4:13 and 14.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition.
So I've already begun to press into this area where there's Christian fellowship that is shared, there's encouragement that happens. Go ahead and read verses 31 through 33.
And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
So the earlier verses show what a marked difference there was in the disciples' lives because they had been with Jesus. And that's exactly what they tell. And in the context of the fellowship of the body of believers, they're sharing their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're speaking to what God had done. And that telling is accompanied by the Spirit of God. It's accompanied by the encouragement that comes from the words that are spoken and a boldness that is that comes upon the people. Vicki and I just had a nice opportunity to attend the Ligonier Conference in Wichita. And it happened at a very large PCA church, seating 1,500 maybe, shoulder to shoulder, packed in the pews and in the and in the overflow balcony, and we came away encouraged to see this body of like-minded believers coming together to profess the things of Christ, the truths that we hold dear, and to have our hearts warmed by the messages that were brought. And that was not only from the pulpit given to us, but then just shared by seeing the faces and the people that are around. And you and I have that opportunity as we share our testimony to be an encouragement to one another, and it promotes a boldness and a fellowship. By the way, we have planned to hear a testimony in our afternoon service today. We'll be hearing from Martha Yizendo about her own conversion and her faith in Jesus Christ. So that's something that we've started this year at the congregation, to have periodic testimonies of individuals of their own faith in Christ. Number four, we'll go to the last one here, and there's several that could be chosen out. I just chose one, John 4:39, as an example here.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did."
Now, that one could fit in a couple of different places. Caused some to think about themselves at God used the testimony of the woman to bring many Samaritans to faith, so this number, it could fit here, number one. I put it down here In fact, all of them could come down here just to point out that God gets glory when we tell of what Jesus Christ has done. So not only did Jesus tell the Samaritan woman all that she had done, but there was conversion that was coming, not just to the Jews, but to the Samaritans. And by extension, the promise goes Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and we can look with great anticipation that Christ is bringing that about. And we can reach all the way into the book of Revelation, where the vision is that Christ is bringing in front of his throne those of every race and language and tribe and tongue, and that even the kings of the earth come and throw their crowns down before Christ. So just by the sharing of your testimony, there's an opportunity for God to be glorified. And as you think about sharing your own testimony of faith in Christ, think of those values that can come as you tell your own story or tell your own experience with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you think of evangelism this way, it's like, I don't need a whole lot of training to do that, do I? How much training did the demoniac have? How much training did the blind man have? He could not even identify Jesus. The Pharisees came and said, "Oh, give glory to God! That guy who you were talking to—he was a sinner." And yet, even then, he was able to evangelize. Well, I don't know who you're talking about, but all I know is once I was blind, but now I see, and it was Jesus who did it. And by that testimony, silenced the Pharisees. So. Out of your own unique experience with Christ, you have an opportunity to speak. And resting on our conviction about the sovereignty of God, you're the perfect person in that situation to speak to what God has done for you. We pray that the Lord would grant us those opportunities. Well, let's go on then to some of the elements of the testimony. And this is where Leonard is going to bring in his own kind of flair of doing a little bit of critique. And part of that critique is that revolves around some of the pitfalls we've already spoken about and revolves around some of the traditional views of evangelism that we've been examining and a traditional view of a testimony. Most often a traditional view of a testimony has just the history of what happened, how I came to Christ. And I'm going to say that this is part of your testimony. But along with Leonard, I want you to see that that's just part of what your testimony is. That there is a continuing aspect of your testimony that is just as important and maybe even more important than the history of what has happened before. And that comes from part of our conviction about what faith is, what conversion is, what it is to believe in Christ. We receive and rest in Jesus. That comes from our catechism. We receive and rest in Christ alone for our salvation. And that resting has a present, continual aspect to it. And there are reasons for this. So, the past element, it is appropriate. It's appropriate to tell about the events and the people that led up to it. It's appropriate to include, if this is part of your story, include if you were at a crossroads in your life. That often happens in someone's conversion. They they come to some type of crisis or spiritual crossroads. There's a sense of conviction of sin or of purposelessness that they finally butt up against, and God uses that crisis to highlight their need of Jesus Christ. And maybe a sense of longing for the love of God, so a variety of different things that might be. It's good to remember that story. It's good to tell that to others for the reasons that we've already talked about. However, after that historical side of things, it's important as well to have an element of what's happening now. And maybe even more important to think about what's happening now, because for most of us, I'm going to guess that when you've thought about sharing your testimony, you've thought mostly about the historical side. And so what I want to prompt you today to do is to think a little bit more about how to relate your current resting in Christ. So a couple of other observations about why we want to press on, and that is one of the reasons is that when your testimony ends with your quote-unquote decision for Christ, then it makes... well, it does a couple of things. One of the things can't remember who was saying, maybe Henry, or we were saying that it makes more out of what you do than what Jesus does for you. I decided is I've overemphasized it that way, but that that when you emphasize a decision, then what you do is more important than what Christ does. It also gives the impression that after you've decided that everything's good with you, that you're just fine now, and that in a sense, you and Jesus are good. You settled that 20 years ago, and that's filed away in your safe deposit box and never to be seen again. And we had a really healthy conversation about that view of the gospel earlier on in this class, where we said that oftentimes the press in evangelism is to offer Jesus as a gift of free grace, but then the continuing Christian life is portrayed as if you keep yourself by your obedience or your goodness. And that sets up a real false dichotomy and a false view of grace and evangelism and a kind of a two-tiered aspect of Christianity. John, did you have a question or comment?
I was kind of thinking also, maybe when you only talk about the history, it sometimes kind of individualizes the Christian experience, something that is just me.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you bring the present in, you also have the opportunity to talk about the fellowship of believers and the church and the means of grace.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good, because that hits right at one of the hearts of what's happening in our own culture, the real fiercely individual aspect of the gospel. It's me and Jesus, and that's all that matters. And it's like, well, no, there's a lot more to the Christian faith than just you and Jesus. That's important. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but there's more to it than that, and it does draw in other believers.
Not to mention Jesus, you know, a good reply to that would be that, well, I'm pretty sure that Jesus will then be the one person to find the boot to kick you in, not to other people.
Yeah, very good. Lots of relationship that is described in a receiving and resting on Jesus Christ. It's there's a There's a transactional aspect of conversion where you cross over from death to life. But there's a relational aspect as well, where you are brought into a living and breathing relationship with your Lord and Savior. And if it's only referred to in the past, then that relationship is kind of stagnant or has not much bearing on your life today. So Leonard says, instead of sharing your testimony in a way that relates that history and the crossroads that brings you to Christ, and ends, to speak of this as, in a sense, the first chapter of a story that continues on. Do you get the difference there? So other views of sharing your testimony might say, I was a demoniac, I was crazy, I was naked, nobody liked to be around me, and Christ came and he converted me, the end. And that's that's one story, that's part of it. Think of it as the first chapter. Leonard gives the illustration of celebrating your anniversary. This is a good one for me. Mickey and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary last week. And it's fun to tell the story of how we met. And I could show you pictures of the play that we were in together, we enjoyed just as a group hanging out together. And we would do things as a large group, and just a very enjoyable group to be in together. I could show you pictures of the choir tour that we went on as we became more and more interested in each other. I could tell you about our wedding day and some of the beauty and the fun things that we did with our family and our friends that day. And if I stopped right there, you might think, well,
that's a Disney movie.
My marriage is a Disney movie. They lived happily ever after. Well, there has been more that has happened in our life, and I'm happy to testify that after 30 years, I'm still crazy about my wife, and she's still crazy to live with me. And I could demonstrate how and why. At least one of them sitting here in the room. There are several others scattered around the church today, of our children, grandchild. I've told you that we went to a retreat together this weekend and had a refreshing time. The relationship continues, and I'm happy to tell anybody about that. And it takes a lot of different forms. And sometimes, yeah, we tell the story of when we met. Other times we tell the story of how God saw us through difficult times, or through hard decisions that we had to make, or through illness, or through incredible joys and things that have brought great pleasure to us. And in a sense, think of that as a picture of sharing your testimony of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes you'll talk about where you came from, and you'll share some of that history. Other times you'll speak about how the Lord has walked with you through tragedy, or through difficult times, or decisions that you had to make. Other times you'll speak just about how amazed you are, that the Lord would still love you, and how you're conscious of the forgiveness of sins. That's a testimony. That's evangelism. It's telling the story of grace in your life. And in saying that, once more, I hope I'm lifting evangelism out of this very narrow box that sometimes we put it in, as if everyone has to stand on the street corner with a placard on front and back saying, "Repent, the end of the world is near." And you say, "Well, that's not me. I can't do that." I'm wanting to lift evangelism out of that kind of narrow idea of what evangelism is, so that you'll see that, in a sense, every day you are testifying to the grace of God that's in your life. And that the living story that is your relationship with Christ is full of ups and downs. It's full of new things that God is teaching you, different ways that you come to realize His mercy and His faithfulness. So, one other way that I'll point out that this is helpful is for some of you, you've grown up in Christian homes, and here's where comparison comes back into play. And some people would say, "I wish I would have sinned more so I'd have a better testimony." For some people, there's a gradual awakening to what Christ has done, rather than a dramatic on the road to Damascus like Paul, where there's this crossing over that is so clearly taking place. For some of you, there's something more gradual. That would be my case of growing up in a Christian home. Knowing from the very beginning that God exists, that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, that I was a sinner needing Jesus Christ, and in a sense trusting and believing that from my childhood. So in your life, if you have grown up in that type of context, you might think, "Well, where is my testimony? Where is the crossroads, or the dilemma, or the blindness, or the drugs, or the nakedness that I wish I had?" No. Believe me, be happy that if your testimony is free from those sorrows, you can speak of being preserved from those things. This type of testimony also really enables you to speak of that living relationship, because you right now know that you need a Redeemer. You right now know that you're a sinner and needing the grace of Christ. And that every event in your life, in a sense, has been directed towards your, in this personal way, your faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord is working all things together for Christ's glory and your good. So you can speak to that. Let me read a couple of quotes from Leonard that I thought were good. He says, "In short, it isn't the moment that we speak about, it's the process. God has been ordering everything in my life for His glory and my good. That process goes on even today. I can testify to the many ways the Lord continues to work in my life." You don't have to have one testimony. You have hundreds of testimonies, because you have a story of how God is at work throughout your life, and how He continues to be, even at this moment. You can never tell the whole story in one sitting. You simply pick a part of the story to tell. So the real question is, which testimony you give? And the answer is, you share the one that's most relevant to the person that you're speaking with right now. I meant to skipped over this. I meant to say that in traditional evangelism, you in a sense only have one testimony to tell. How I came to Christ, just that history. And it's static. It's this one little bit. And once you tell that one little bit, in a sense, it's over. But if you come to see your testimony in evangelism as instead a dynamic aspect, a living aspect, then you have a lot to say about what Christ has done for you. And that works into a lot of different circumstances. As I said, we have the joy of hearing a testimony later this afternoon. Use it. Use it for introspection. Use it to glorify God, to say the Lord has done great things. Use it for fellowship. Be built up in this. Be encouraged. Questions, comments? Yeah, Vicki.
Point them to Christ, and you know, especially as life on earth, and say he knows. And as you continue to preach the gospel to yourself, and you know that gospel ministry, you know Christ is with sinners and those that experience all these different things. So remembering, you know, like Richard said, pointing them to Christ.
Yeah.
Helpful for us, because we can think, oh man, I can't relate to them.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to even say that, to say your experience goes beyond mine, and I don't pretend to be able to understand all that you've gone through. And yet there is one who does, and to be able to speak of Jesus in that context. Good. Other questions or comments? Yeah, Matthew.
Just the way I believe it's the rich young ruler, where kind of that contrast between history and present is he did all the law and he did all the things, and right now rely off your great good works.
Yeah,
your raising as a good Jew. And while you're keeping the commandments, sell it right now and come follow me.
Yeah.
So he couldn't do that because he had a good testimony.
Yeah.
Great wealth, but he couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
Presently, go follow me.
Yeah. And in a sense, think of the Pharisee who was wanting to justify himself and asked, who is my neighbor? And there's the possibility when you emphasize your decision or your current goodness, it sets you apart as self-righteous and unapproachable because of that. Whereas a dynamic resting in Christ is humbling, and you speak from your dependence and your need, which is what you're wanting to encourage others in. Hey, Randy.
Well, I think also testimonies is that sometimes you have to be careful, because I mean, I've also heard of cases of people that had these quote-unquote dramatic conversions, and then maybe 4 or 5 years later they've fallen away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really more of an emotionalism type of thing, and so that they had this thing, but then 4 or 5 years later, they crash. They made shipwreck of the faith.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the it's a race. It's a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. And so, you know, the steady day by day faithfulness.
Yeah.
Is what's critical. And so, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, that's boring." Well, I mean.
Yeah,
I think that there's always the danger that the Christian life has to be bells and whistles. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It does seem like a fireman if you rather have a boring day or an exciting day.
Yeah. John, were you raising your hand?
No, yeah, I was just thinking with all the pitfalls and comparisons, and it's not good enough. It might just be important to remember that the testimony is not the gospel, it's a product of the gospel.
Yeah.
It might just be helpful to remember.
Yeah.
And when people are like, well, you don't understand my situation or something. That's not the point. The point is the gospel, not my testimony is supposed to fit into your story or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good place to close. We have emphasized, in a sense, your experience with that truth of the gospel. There's an unchanging truth that's there, and I started off by saying that story has to always be connected to Jesus. It always has to be connected to the truth of the gospel, we can err in our expressions or our experience of that, but Christ doesn't. And so we're speaking of how Christ has come to us, and that's it's appropriate for us to tell that story and to marvel over that. Well, let's bow in prayer as we close. Well, God, we do bow, not just to close, but to say thank you that you have shown us grace. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to grow in that relationship, that you would enliven us to marvel at what you have done, and that as we share our lives and share our testimony with others, we pray that you would be pleased to cause others to come to faith by that working of your word and spirit in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make sure you're dismissed.